This is episode 55 of the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast. Christian Research Journal Reads podcast presents audio versions of Christian Research Journal articles. Heretic, The Gospel According to Mr. Reed by Cole Burgett. This is a film review of the Golden Globe-nominated film Heretic. Actor Hugh Grant is nominated for a Golden Globe for 2025 for Best Performance by a Male Actor in a Motion Picture, Musical, or Comedy. To read the full article along with its documentation, go to equip.org. That's EQUIP.org.
Heretic, The Gospel According to Mr. Reed by Cole Burgett. Read by Christina Wintersteller. Editor's note, this article contains spoilers for Heretic. Heretic, directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods. Written by Scott Beck and Brian Woods. Produced by Stacy Scher, Scott Beck, Brian Woods, Julia Glossy, and Jeanette Volturno. Starring Hugh Grant, Sophie Thatcher, Chloe East. Feature film rated R, A24 2024. Just when I thought that the year would end without giving me at least one really memorable theatrical experience, the kind in which the tension in scenes is quite palpable, and you can practically feel everyone around you holding their breaths, along comes Heretic and delivers on practically all fronts. Directed by Scott Beck and Brian Woods, Heretic is a tense psychological thriller that does not so much dig into the messy, often uncomfortably dark tunnel where faith and doubt intermingle as it goes running headlong into it, screaming all the way. The story follows two young LDS Mormon missionaries, Sisters Barnes, Sophie Thatcher, and Paxton, Chloe East, as they knock on the door of a house belonging to Mr. Reed, who is lent subtle, unnerving power by a stunning, against-type performance from rom-com stalwart Hugh Grant, and who is without doubt destined to take his place in the pantheon of greatest movie villains. What starts as a routine proselytizing visit spirals into a nail-bitingly taut battle of wills that forces the girls to confront their core beliefs beneath Reed's relentless skepticism and scrutiny. It is a perfect encapsulation of the many moments that I myself was witness to during my brief stint at a state university, where a young adult who claims to hold some kind of religious conviction is confronted by a charismatic individual who simply knows more than they do and pushes them into excavating the reasons for why they believe what they claim to believe. Despite being billed as a horror film, Heretic is unconventional in that it mines most of its tension from the conflicting ideas present in the narrative and the uncomfortable but necessary question it asks: how does one justify their faith when someone attempts to poke holes in it, not with anger, but with cool, calculated reasoning? The upshot is a film that seems to have a genuine interest in interacting with its audience, introducing them to an apologetics discussion that, while not exhaustive, certainly goes deeper than surface level. Comparative religion. Reed's approach to dismantling the missionaries' convictions is awash in the language of comparative religion, drawing from the kind of arguments one might encounter in an introductory college course on philosophy or world religions. Using the history of the classic board game Monopoly to make his point, the kind of illustration one can practically envision unfolding on a slideshow in a lecture hall, he pits the tenets of LDS theology against broader religious narratives, framing their beliefs as simply the, quote, newer and sleeker, unquote, iteration of the long-standing Abrahamic religious tradition aimed at controlling the masses. Reed's argument is deceptively calm and laced with a kind of academic detachment. It probes the idea that no religion holds a monopoly on truth, suggesting instead that truth is as much a cultural artifact as, well, art or a board game. It is shaped by geography, history, human psychology, and, most importantly, those in power, rather than a revelation of absolute reality. His is a perspective that forces the sisters into unfamiliar territory, challenging them to defend both the specifics of their doctrines as well as the very idea of religious particularity in an inherently pluralistic world. Of course, this opens the door to a much larger discussion on the subject of comparative religion. In academic studies, the study of religious traditions across different cultures, with an eye toward their similarities, differences, and underlying structures, is generally referred to as comparative religion. While the discipline is not necessarily concerned with ranking religions or determining which is, quote, correct, unquote, drawing such conclusions seems like an obvious and necessary endpoint, and it frequently is. Central to the field is the recognition of religious practices and beliefs as being shaped profoundly by different historical, social, and cultural contexts. Religious pluralism, the notion that many religions, however distinct in their doctrines and rituals, are nevertheless often found to address similar themes and ideas, ethical living, higher powers, afterlives, etc., is one of the central tenets of the discipline. And 20th century scholars like Houston Smith, 1919 to 2016, and Joseph Campbell, 1904 to 1987, brought a particular flavor of comparative religion to the popular conscience due to their interactions with these ideas in the public sphere, exploring how myths and religious practices and symbols serve as universal frameworks for understanding the human experience, despite their unique forms across different societies and cultures throughout history. These similarities are typically framed as, quote, archetypes, unquote. Given the nature of the discipline, a key argument often encountered in comparative religion is the idea that religions are, at least in part, human constructs. Such perspectives, especially when paired with other common disciplines in anthropology and sociology, suggest that religious systems are instead influenced by cultural and political forces, reflecting the needs and values of the societies that create them. Figures like Sigmund Freud and Karl Marx, who were critical of organized religion, helped to further the idea that religion serves as a psychological crutch or a tool for control. In Heretic, Mr. Reed espouses a view that is not too dissimilar, though taken to a certain extreme, from Marx's. The, quote, one true religion, unquote, he claims to have discovered is that of, quote, control, unquote. Religion, in Reed's view, is not divine revelation, but a tool crafted by human societies to impose order. His words carry Marxist undertones. That religion serves as an, quote, opiate, unquote, to pacify the masses, and critique the hierarchical structures that often underpin the religious institutions, the LDS Church, and, more broadly, the Abrahamic traditions. He pushes this idea to another extreme, likening faith to a clearly marketed product, replete with, quote, updates, unquote, and, quote, brandings, unquote, that adapt to the needs of the times. This frames the missionaries' convictions as little more than the most recent iteration of this larger phenomenon, presenting them a world in which their beliefs are shaped not by transcendence, but by historical and cultural contingencies. An apologetic response. For the Christian apologist looking to tackle some of these ideas, addressing Reed's critique of religion as a tool for control and merely a cultural construct, and therefore a human invention, is the most obvious starting point. From a biblicist perspective, the Christian faith asserts that Scripture is not the product of human imagination or societal needs, but the way God has chosen to reveal himself to the world. As Paul notes in 2 Timothy 3:16, using the Greek word theopneustos, quote, all Scripture is breathed out by God, unquote, which roots the Bible's authority not in historical or cultural contingencies, but in God himself, whose character of holiness sets him apart from human constructs. Reed's argument that religion is a tool of control smacks of Marxist critiques, and while certain concessions can be made in the context of history, there is very little consideration given to the transformative power of the Christian faith. Far from pacifying individuals into compliance, Christianity has historically inspired movements of profound societal change, abolishing slavery, promoting human rights, fostering education and health care for the marginalized. These outcomes arise not from coercion, but from the scriptural idea that humanity was originally created, quote, in the image of God, unquote, and therefore every person is endowed with intrinsic dignity and worth, Genesis 1:27. If the apostles sought to build a system of control, they certainly could have done better than emphasizing something as trite, by the world's standards, as, quote, sacrificial service, unquote, which they actually took really seriously by modeling it and expecting others to do the same. Moreover, Reed's reduction of faith to branding misunderstands the nature of Christian doctrine, while nonetheless offering a valid critique of the broader commercialization of Christian culture. While cultural expressions of faith may adapt over time, these changes are peripheral to the core message of the gospel, which remains remarkably consistent: humanity's reconciliation with God through the atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 3-4. This fact is not a construct of societal need or historical convenience, but is God's ultimate expression of self-revelation, the incarnation, John 1:1-14, Colossians 1:15, confirmed through eyewitness testimony, 2 Peter 1:16. Reed's view and the Christian view part ways firmly on the question of objective truth, which Christians have traditionally rooted in the unchanging character of God, John 14:6. That being said, while Heretic does give voice to Reed's view of religion as a construct and means of control, it does not fully endorse his perspective. Instead, the film actively seeks to engage the audience in this kind of discussion, and Sister Barnes manages to muster a somewhat compelling defense of religion in her own right. In fact, the film, wisely, keeps its cards close to its chest, leaving room for interpretation through subtle suggestions that Reed's materialistic worldview might not actually hold as many answers as he seems to think it does. He is the film's villain, after all. The climax of the film hints at the possibility of miraculous intervention, though it refrains from making such a reading explicit. This ambiguity enriches the narrative and keeps the affair from becoming stodgy and full of self-important preachiness. At this point, Heretic is my pick for, quote, film of the year, unquote. Sharp dialogue, nuanced performances, and an intellectually charged exploration of faith, it's a film worth watching, regardless of one's beliefs.
Thank you for listening to another episode from the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, which provides audio articles of Christian Research Journal articles. If you go to equip.org, you will find a brand new article for the Christian Research Journal published weekly. In addition, please subscribe to our other podcasts. Wherever you find your favorite podcasts, you will find the Christian Research Journal Reads podcast, the Postmodern Realities podcast, which features interviews with Christian Research Journal authors, our flagship podcast, the Bible Answer Man broadcast, and the Hank Unplugged podcast, where CRI President Hank Hanegraaff takes you out of the studio and into his study to engage in in-depth, free-flowing, essential Christian conversations on critical issues with some of the most interesting and informative people on the planet. At equip.org, you will also find a lot of resources to equip you, including many thousands of Christian Research Journal articles. That's EQUIP.org.